Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Okay, Black, a buddy of mine, my friend David texted me, and he said, tell Black,
yeah, what do you want? What do you want,
Cap? Stealing $500 and $5 million. One's called a misdemeanor, the other's a felony. What was stolen by the Astros, a World Series, a title, a legacy, is a felony. With the Marlins, if they had done it, that would be a misdemeanor. Big difference.
No, it's not. They're doing it the same exact way.
Doesn't matter.
What do you mean it doesn't matter?
Because if they
if they're cheating the exact same way, that's cheating the exact same way. Whether or not they're doing successfully or if they're winning a World Series title, it's still cheating the same exact way, Cap.
I disagree with you. The Marlins would have stolen their way to 68 wins.
Okay, maybe they're just they're not good at it.
And the Astros, they may be just as good at cheating. They don't have as good of players. The Astros stole a place in history. That's not theirs.
Oh, please.
Cheating is cheating. Cheating's cheating, Cap.
Place in history. Please, get out of here with that. Shea was right last hour when she said that it happened. Didn't we see them win it?
Yes. Cap.
Okay, there you go. There's your history, Cap.
No, because what you saw wasn't that.
But I hear you. Takeaway is the rings. Don't, in their bio, write World Series MVP. I don't care what you do, but just saying something doesn't exist anymore isn't possible. Let me give a scenario here. We're all in relationships, married, okay? Your ex, girlfriend for you guys, boyfriend for me, exists. You might delete the pictures on Instagram, okay? You might delete the photos on Facebook. It still happened. You still dated that person. You can't just pretend like they were never part of your memory and your history.
Shay, I love you dearly. That might be the worst analogy you've ever given,
Shay. Thank you.
Spot on.
Let me ask you a question.
It still happened. You still paid for the ticket to go watch it happen.
That is a pathetically bad analogy.
Black doesn't think so.
Yeah, his analogy is as pathetically bad as yours.
Wow.
Because, okay, some chemist who I happen to know comes up and he goes, you take this pill, you're going to be able to throw at age 59, 116 miles an hour. And I don't tell anyone I take it. And I'm in the gym working out. I go get a tryout with a major league team. And I am the best pitcher in baseball. My wife's like, you're amazing. My kids are like, how did you do this? Yeah, I just worked really hard. And really, I'm taking some drug that's allowing me to throw 160. You saw me strike those batters out. It happened. But guess what? I cheated to do it. You guys are out of your mind.
That is not a good analogy to stripping
titles
at all.
It's a great analogy.
Shay's analogy.
All right, let's go to Jesse Rogers, who will be at Cubs convention a little bit later. I'll see him over there. Jesse, good morning.
Good morning, and I can't believe I'm saying this. Mark it down on the calendars. I actually agree with Cap on this one.
Thank you, Jesse!
Look, let me use the best example, guys. Let me give you the best example. They have taken away gold medals from Olympic athletes, have they not?
Yes.
And you still know they happened.
Yes, it happened. Ben Johnson cheated to run.
I get what happened.
It is ceremonial when you say the title is vacated. It still happened, but you still do it to prove a point. You do it to prove a point. Now, on the other hand, I do believe if the Marlins cheated just like to 68 wins, they should be as punished as much as the Astros should. So no one team should be punished more than the other based on how many wins they had. But this team happened to win a title. And so, yes, I think you could argue that title should be vacated just like a gold medal has been taken away.
Okay, good. And then, then we'll all feel better when the titles are taken away. Yes. We'll all feel 100%. Better.
It's a ceremonial thing, like I said, vacating the title, because you're right. The Dodgers still lost. It's not like you're going to hand it to the Dodgers.
Exactly.
It'll just be nobody wins the title. But it makes a point. Hey, you cheat, there will be consequences. Because, look, the commissioner's doing everything he can except for punishing players, which is probably the thing he would like to do. So here's another thing he could do. But it does seem like, and I think one of the national writers wrote this, that I think Passan wrote it, that he really came down in the front office and the managers and the managers of the Red Sox, everything, but not the owner and not the players, right? The owner really got a slap on the wrist and the players got nothing. So he took care of the people he really could take care of. They have no control. There's no union, managers union or GM union, right? And of course, the owner is a whole different ball game because the Manfred works for the owners. So it does feel like a couple, people in this thing got away with something here. And I'm talking about the owner and the players, obviously.
I just feel like punish the future. Don't punish the past. You can't change the past. You can change the future.
Yeah,
so here, take away a postseason ban. That's the future. You do this again, and you'll never see baseball ever again. I mean, punish the future. Why are you taking away something that's already happened?
Because they didn't earn it, Shay.
It doesn't matter. There still was a World Series. It's in the past. Fix it so it doesn't happen again. This doesn't make any sense to me.
You could do both.
Couldn't disagree with you more.
All right.
Jesse, let's talk about the Cubs.
Yeah, what's there to talk about? I'll tell you what, this is going to be a nice distraction for the Cubs, as long as they're not guilty of anything. They'll be able to talk about the Astros' problems and the Red Sox problems and not their own problems. I think this is actually a good distraction for the Cubs, because all of us are going to go to the players today and say, hey, did you know the Astros are cheating? And the second question will be, hey, your team hasn't done anything to get better next season.
So Chris Bryant will be there. Give him credit, man. He's going to be there, and he's going to have to answer questions. Are you going to be here in a week? Are you going to be here in 2 weeks? Are you going to win your grievance? Are you going to lose your grievance? Are you mad at the Cubs for, what happened in 2015, and have you harbored this resentment all this time? Or are you just a tool of the union? Really? Is this where we're at now, Jesse?
It's kind of what Rizzo said yesterday, the ugly side of the business, where we have to discuss trading a former MVP like Chris Bryant because the Cubs want to get under that tax threshold. I think Chris is been around long enough now to navigate this thing, or he wouldn't have showed. I think he knows he's going to have to answer these questions, and he'll do it the right way. I'm on this team until further notice. We filed this grievance as a union thing. No hard feelings. They've been saying that for years. I think he's going to say the right things. And then we'll see if he's on this team in a week. So I think both Theo and Chris have something to navigate here today. But once they get past it, I think it's sort of Cubs convention as usual. Though I'm sure Brian, even with fans, will be asked a lot. Hey, you're going to be around? We're hearing your name, all that stuff. So it probably won't be the most pleasant weekend compared to past years for Chris Bryant. But he's mature enough and a good enough dude that I think he'll be able to navigate around it.
Jesse, with all this going on in Major League Baseball, do you think that it's even worse that the Ricketts family is not speaking at Cubs convention, given the state of Major League Baseball today and this weekend?
Well, the only thing I'll say about that, Shay, is if they had never spoken year after year after year, if that was never a panel of for the Ricketts family, I wouldn't even think twice. But you don't give the fans something and then abruptly take it away at seemingly a time when the questions might get a little rougher. Now, maybe it's a coincidence. I don't know. We all doubt that it is. So that's my problem. Like, you gave the fans something for a long, long time during the rebuilding years. We're going to spend, all the good stuff. You win the World Series. Then all of a sudden, when times get a little tougher here, not spending these last two off seasons, you take it away. So I do have a problem with you coordinating it that you're not going to speak publicly with the fans. So, yeah, I do have a problem with that.
Okay, so Jesse, they're in the middle of their window to win. At least that's what we've been led to believe, correct?
Sure, I guess so. I mean, it might be at the end of that window. I don't know. But they certainly have all these star players that won a World Series for them. So, sure, they're in the middle of their window, yeah.
Okay, I find it literally comically pathetic that you charge the second highest ticket prices in the game, that you're starting your own TV channel so you can make even more money, that you have all your stadium renovations to drive even more revenue with your hotel and your restaurants and Gallagher Way and all that stuff. And in two off seasons to this point, they have done absolutely nothing, zero. And that from the time Theo arrived, the 2012 season, to today, they have, I think, created 6 strikeouts from one pitcher they developed. So 6 more than me, you, and Shea combined. And that's it. And everyone wants to point that they're not spending enough money. Maybe they just haven't managed their finances well enough, and they haven't done a very damn good job at developing talent.
Well, that's the real story, the development. And this is why this will be the topic of the weekend if you're a sort of a nerd about this stuff, because they will be discussing the overhaul of their development systems And that's what they did this whole offseason. Now, that's not sexy. And I mean, I don't know if it helps them in 2020, but obviously they think it'll help them down the road. But that's the underlying thing. They have not developed, so they had to spend. And Ricketts said enough is enough. And to his defense, the Red Sox aren't spending. They're cutting to go under the cap. The Dodgers aren't spending a ton. They don't like to be over that cap as well. I say cap, I say, you know, tax threshold. Now, having said that, I disagree with one thing, and Ricketts is using this as a crutch, when he'll say, well, payroll doesn't equal playoffs. Because, look, we've had high payrolls these last 2 years. We didn't make it. The Twins had no payroll, and they made it. That's apples and oranges. Payroll isn't tied to playoffs. Payroll's tied to the arc of a player and a team. The Cubs were cheap because those players were young. They happened to make the playoffs because they were talented. Now they're more expensive. They're not making the playoffs. Sometimes it's harder to stay on top than it is to get on top. So for whatever reason, they haven't made the playoffs. But, you know, he will tell you, Cap, we have spent money in arbitration last year and this year. We gave raises to our own people. That is spending money. Now, to the rest of us, that's spending money you have to spend because everybody has to pay their guys through arbitration. So, you know, I don't like the way Ricketts makes those arguments, but the bottom line is what you said is right. The payroll is pretty high. They haven't managed it well. And the last and the most important thing is you have to have guys making the minimum that make a difference. You have to have a guy making $700,000 that is a Rookie of the Year candidate, and they haven't had that in several years, and that has hurt them.
Quickly, Jess, before we say goodbye, I just wanted to ask you what you thought about David Ross yesterday saying he really believes in a leading hitter.
You got 30 seconds, Jesse.
Yeah, I think he's going to try to stick to it. But he's got to be given one. He's got to be given one. So I think he's going to try to find one if they don't give him one and stick with that guy. But I think every manager would say that. I want a leadoff hitter. I believe in it. But he's got to work with what they give him. And right now, that's not a lot at the top of the lineup.
Hey, man, have a good day. I'll see you at the media event.
Yeah, should be interesting. Talk to you guys later.
See you, Jess.
All right, that's Jesse Rogers. We will play Shot, No Shot coming up next on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you're listening to Cap and Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000 with Shea Pepler, Danny Zetterman, and Chris Black. I'm David Kaplan. We've been all over this cheating scandal, which by the minute, it seems like something else pops. Then this morning, Black Jack McDowell. Jack McDowell, the former White Sox star, just goes all in on accusing the White Sox of doing it in the 80s, that Tony La Russa set up a sign-stealing scheme with a light and a Gatorade sign in the scoreboard. I mean, wow. It just keeps going. Anyway, we will be talking football coming up in a little bit in the show because we've got a huge weekend with the AFC and NFC title games. But right now, it's time to play Shot, No Shot.
That's why I see him and I
Shot, No Shot. With David Kaplan on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I see him and I
Shot, No Shot brought to you by Lou Malnati's. That's right, 62 locations and counting. Go to LouMalnati's.com, order online, or find a location near you. It's Friday, and I always tell you, pizza and a movie is a great night. Get the Chris Black special, the deep dish, butter crust. He goes low-fat cheese because he likes to taste better with pepperoni, Lou salad, and extra dressing, sweet vinaigrette to dip the crust in, and Northwestern football and basketball. They are Chicago's Big Ten team season at single-game tickets. Always available at NUSports.com. Go Cats. Danny.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've been very baseball-y today, and rightfully so. So let's start with a little football. The divisional round of the playoffs is this weekend. The 49ers run game is one of the best in the league, averaging 144 rushing yards a game, which was second in the league. San Francisco rushed for 2,305 yards on the season. Their run game was pivotal for their offense, which averaged nearly 30 points a game, carrying the ball 31 times a game. The 49ers led the NFL with 23 rushing touchdowns this season. On the other side, the Titans are coming off back-to-back upsets over the number one and number three seeds in the AFC. Both wins were not fluked. because Tennessee pounded the ball with running back Derrick Henry. He's run for over 180 yards in back-to-back playoff games. He ran for more yards against Bill Belichick and the Patriots than anyone ever has in the postseason, and his 1,273 rushing yards over the last eight games are the most in a stretch of that length in NFL history. The NFL is a copycat league. Shot or no shot, the Titans or 49ers, who make running the ball a huge part of their offense, winning the Super Bowl this year would be the best possible thing for the Chicago Bears and Matt Nagy, who hates to run the ball.
Yeah, I'm going to say no shot because Matt's going to do what Matt's going to do. And, you know, just because somebody ran the 46 defense with amazing personnel, other teams tried to copycat it and they couldn't pull it off. So, yeah, no, I don't think it matters. I think Matt has to just look at his roster and his guys and his quarterbacks and decide what's best for him. So, no shot.
I'm going to say no shot, but I believe, because I already believe, this is good for the Bears. Running the football has been the story throughout the playoffs, in my mind, a way teams have been able to be successful. Seattle, their top rusher was Russell Wilson. They didn't have an option to run the football outside Marshawn Lynch, who could punch it in. You know what they did? They went to Green Bay and lost because the weather was bad and they didn't have someone they could hand that ball off to. I think running the football has been the story this year. That's why the top four rushing teams in the league were in the playoffs. The top four passing teams were not. So already, this lesson that running the football is important has been a theme, and the Bears should already have taken notice on that.
Getting back to baseball, we've been talking about it all morning. There are new rumors out there that the Astros, Jose Altuve, and Alex Bregman wore devices that buzzed as part of a sign-stealing scandal. Shot or no shot, as more details emerge, if Major League Baseball does not strip the Astros of their World Series title, baseball is headed for a major shift in fan support and risks the tune-out factor.
Yeah, I'm going to say shot. If people, whatever the sport is, if you go to a game and you think it's contrived or the outcome's been rigged, especially with the advent of sports gambling now, they're going to want to take bets at the stadiums. The Cubs want to literally take bets at the stadium. They want to do that at the United Center. So you're going to watch a game and go, boy, I wonder if that was real. I wonder if he knew that. I wonder if the goalie let that puck in. I wonder if that guy wasn't trying defensively so that guy could get that basket so the game went over instead of under or covered that spread or not. Yeah, damn right. They got to strip it, and the commissioner has to be way, way tougher than he was.
So the question is, if they don't strip the title, do you worry that fans will basically become indifferent when it comes to watching baseball? And I think absolutely no shot. I think this actually generates more interest in the game of baseball. Now, I don't think it's right the way it's generating interest, but I do think all of us are going to have a rooting interest when we turn on opening day to see if guys like Jose Altuve can actually hit a baseball without knowing what pitch is coming toward him.
Or, how many Astro games did you watch last year with them not playing a Chicago team? Who are you kidding? You're going to turn on the Astros to see now, Jose Altuve.
Are
you
exactly saying, my point. Danny, games that's exactly
that,
my
that
point.
They didn't play a Chicago team?
No, listen, I think
that's my point exactly.
They played both Chicago
teams. I feel like baseball's in a bad spot anyways, and I feel like Major League Baseball knows that. That's why they're changing rules. They're trying to shorten games. They're making relievers stay in to face three batters. They know they have a crisis on their hand without the cheating. Now you throw in the fact that the outcomes of the games may not be legit, and people are quickly going to realize this sport may not be for them.
That's your opinion. My opinion is, yeah, I wouldn't be watching some random Astros, I don't know, Rays game in the middle of the summer. But hey, now I might.
No shot.
Now I might.
I'll bet you whatever you want. No shot.
To see if someone pegs one of these dudes during their at bat.
You'll see it on SportsCenter like the rest of us.
You're not sitting through waiting for someone to come up to the dish.
I think it generates a little more interest. I think baseball is a very regional sport, and this makes it much more national.
Okay, let me to back Shea up here. Jeff Passan posted a great article this morning that says buzzers, burner accounts, and conspiracies inside baseball's day of epic chaos. And he tagged his tweet by saying the day baseball lost its mind was yesterday. And he said one general manager, when reached mid-afternoon, said, "This is the greatest thing I've ever seen."
But that's a baseball general manager saying that. That's one man's opinion that works in the sport. I'm talking about the guys and gals right now that could hear our voice, that are working 9-to-5 jobs, that have very little time in the day to find reasons to relax. And when they do, they want to watch something entertaining. Yeah. I'm not talking about a guy that gets paid millions of dollars to sit in a front office.
But what they're saying is that it's going to drive interest.
You know what it's going to drive interest in? Jeff Passan in the work he does. Tim Kirkchian in the work he does. It's going to drive interest into us reading stories about baseball.
Which is
and
following
baseball reporters. It's not going to drive interest in watching games.
You're
it's not going to drive up
ratings.
The first
time Jose Altuve comes into the batter's box, people aren't going to tune in and go, I wonder if he gets hit right in the head.
Nobody's going to tune in because thank God for SportsCenter. It's on all day, every day. Guess what?
Why are you yelling?
I'll see it. I don't know. I'm getting very upset with you two because you're lying to us. You're as bad as the Astros telling us you're going
to
watch an Astros game.
I don't even have time to sit down and eat meals sometimes in the day.
So why are you lying that you're going to watch the Astros?
Let alone watch a baseball game from start to finish.
Down to a dull roar.
I don't even have time for that. But I do think now, and I'd like to think I'm a little more than just a general fan, but the general fan will probably tune in a little more to see what's real and what's not for their own eyes.
Make it a poll, Cap.
That will this
will this Major League Baseball scandal drive up your interest in watching Major League Baseball games?
Okay.
By all means.
I'm going to poll it right now.
All right, let's move on.
Okay.
We just talked to Jesse.
Let's all take a breath, too.
Cub, you really upset me with this lie that you're pawning off that you're going to watch Astros games. I can't even look you in the eyes.
It's not what I said.
Yes, you did.
I said it drives up viewership. Go on.
Cubs convention this weekend. Joe Maddon contributed to the only Cubs championship since 1908, and that must be acknowledged even though he is not the manager anymore. The only time the Angels and will visit Wrigley Field this year is during the World Series. Shot or no shot, the Cubs must raise a flag or a banner in Joe Maddon's honor this season.
Aww.
Yes, there should be a banner, a flag flying on the top of the stadium like they have one for Jackie Robinson, one for all the World Championships. They have, I want to say, there's a 66 for Sammy up there for the home runs. And yes, there should be a Joe Maddon flag. 100%.
Yeah, I'm going to say shot. I think so too. Why not? Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you honor Joe Maddon?
But the big deal would be they'll play a video when he comes in here the first time.
What's the argument against it? There isn't a strong one. There can't be. So I'm going to say shot.
There are some baseball purists that don't want just anything hanging up at Wrigley, and they want Joe to wait. My point is, this should be something done immediately. At the Cubs convention tomorrow, they should show the banner. Hey, do you see this banner? It's going up as soon as we get a chance to put it up.
Yeah, and David Ross would probably support this, too. I know he talked yesterday when I saw him at a Cubs pre-convention event, and he talked about how Joe Maddon taught him a lot about what he knows now. Like, he would support this too. And baseball purists, are there any anymore after yesterday? Please.
Hey, Danny, how do you want me to phrase the question?
I would just say something along the lines of, will this current...
Here's what I wrote. Will the MLB sign-stealing scandal increase your interest in the upcoming baseball season?
Yes.
No, because I think there will be interest in the season. But what Shay's talking about is more people watching games. So we need to put the game aspect in there.
Yeah. Will you watch more baseball
games?
Will you watch more baseball?
Of course we're going to be interested in the season, but I think that's just going to drive up clicks to Jeff Passan's stories.
Yeah. Increase your interest in watching more games this season.
Correct. Yes. That's much better.
Yes. Okay.
Because and I have yes, no, or I'm done with the sport.
But just make it yes or no. We're just asking, are they going to watch more or less? Yes or no?
We don't have to end baseball. We'll just do a simple yes or no.
Yes or no.
We'll keep baseball around, Cap. We don't want to end it.
Okay. Then do a second poll. Do you now believe anything Shay says because she claims she's watching Astros games?
That is not what I said. I said it piques interest and people would maybe watch a random Houston Astros game. Maybe.
Aside from Shay's lying to us today, shot or no shot, you two have ever cheated in life?
In life. If you say no, you're lying.
I did, yeah.
He cheated on this very show less than a year ago playing the game.
I actually didn't cheat. Someone texted me, and it popped up on my screen.
And you used the answer.
And
you so use the answer, you basically which means
were
you
doing
cheated.
The Houston Astros method at the dish, but you were doing it on the show.
And admitted it on the air. Follow my
but
sword.
But that's still cheating.
I didn't pull a Jose Altuve.
And yeah, lie about it. I cheated on a physics test in high school. It was a quiz.
Nice. How'd you do it?
Twice. I looked at the person next to me. But,
oh, that's it?
But the person next to me, you know, they did like, I got caught. There's two different versions. The teacher was smart. So yeah. I got caught. Yeah. I copied the person next to me who had a different quiz.
Yeah. That's rough.
I learned my lesson, but yeah.
Danny, did you ever cheat at anything?
I did. I was in college. I was in a business class. A buddy of mine called and said, I think you should come over and study for the midterm. I'm like, yeah, study alone. He goes, trust me, you should come over and study. I went to his house to study, and he had a copy of the test, word for word.
Yeah.
Got a 98%.
Yeah, nice. I actually... Danny's heard this story, so you can go ahead and say, you tell that story.
I've probably heard it as many times as a Dirk Nowitzki story.
Yeah, I actually was given, we had open book test.
Yeah.
Four essay questions. And Sandy Kerfey, who I went to school with, said, Cap, it was the spring semester. Cap, I took it last spring. It's only offered in the spring.
Gave you all the
Here's my blue book.
Yeah.
And she got like a 95. So I copied all her answers onto paper for my notes. Here comes first question, identical. And I answered it. She got 25 out of 25. Second one, she got 23. I made the corrections the teacher put on there. Got it. Third one, same deal. Get to the fourth one. He goes, 2 minutes left in the test. I'm like, oh, God. I just started copying as fast as I could. Saw the teacher. He goes, you did great. The first three questions, 25 out of 25. I've never in 30 years of teaching had someone get a perfect score. And then question four, you answered a question. We didn't study this term. He goes, I'm not going to turn you in for plagiarism. I gave you your 75. Don't ever do that to me again.
Wow, that was nice.
All right, got to take a timeout. We get you ready for the NFL divisional round of the NFL conference title games next on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN.
It's Cap and Co. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000.
All right, welcome back. Chicago's home for sports. This is Cap and Company in the first Midwest Bank studio with Shay Pepler, queen of the really bad take this morning.
Oh, please.
I wouldn't strip them up there. No, let me use your voice. I wouldn't strip them of their title. What does that accomplish?
And I was right. You know how many people are agreeing with me on the social?
Yeah. On the gram and on Twitter, most are agreeing with me.
No, they're not, Cap. We follow different people. They're agreeing with me. I'm saying punish the future, okay? Postseason ban. Take things away. Don't let them play. Don't let them manage. But why punish the past? Because it's already happened. You can't change
because
it. You can't change it.
Because
take the rings away. I don't care.
The past didn't happen. It didn't happen.
Newsflash, Sparkles, it did happen.
Newsflash, here, Cookie, it didn't because they didn't deserve to win.
I'm not disagreeing that they didn't deserve it, but it happened. You bought the tickets. You watched it on television. The sponsorships were sold. The commercials were sold. The trophy was held up. It happened. So now let's fix it so it never happens again.
312-332-3776 is our phone number. We're going to move on to some football here on Chicago's Home for Sports because we have the AFC and NFC title games this weekend. Mm-hmm. Philly Godfather is going to join us in a little less than an hour. He'll give us his picks. But, Shay, which game are you most excited to watch?
Gosh, I think Tennessee in Arrowhead. First of all, the airport in Kansas City is closed today, Friday, during championship weekend when there's a game there because of freezing rain. Can you imagine the travel problems that are happening in Kansas City? To me, that's the most intriguing game for a couple reasons. One, I think this might be Andy Reid's best shot to get to a Super Bowl that he's had in a long time. I think that this Kansas City Chiefs team is very dynamic. They're playing defense on a level they have not played in a very long time. You've seen what Patrick Mahomes can do when he's down, when he's up, when his back's against the wall. It doesn't matter. He has so many weapons. But this Tennessee Titans team is so intriguing because they run the football. And you know who knows they're going to run the football? Everybody in America. So if you can't stop Derrick Henry, you can't tackle him, then You can't win the football game. And there's a bullseye on his back. But then here's Ryan Tannehill, like, hey, don't sleep on me, even though I have less than 100 yards in the last two games. Because you know what I do? I have a great passer rating. In fact, one of the top in the NFL over the last several weeks. And you know what else I did? I went into Foxborough and won. I went into Baltimore and won. And I'm about to go in Arrowhead and maybe win. Mm-hmm. So this is a very intriguing matchup for me. You?
I am really excited to watch the Green Bay Packers hopefully get eviscerated. Like, I believe that the Chiefs are going to win and win convincingly.
Okay, I'm sorry. You pull out these words sometimes from, like, Caps Webster Dictionary. Like, what? Okay, go on.
So, I believe Kansas City's going to win and win convincingly. I think Tennessee will compete for a while. They'll try to battle. But in the end, I believe they're going to lose by 10 to 14 points.
Okay, that's fine.
The other game... Like, heaven forbid the Green Bay Packers are playing in the Super Bowl. I may just go to, vacation somewhere and get away from it. Because I'm not a Packer fan. In fact, I root against the Packers openly. They're one of three teams in sports I openly cheer against.
Is there a less Miami kind of team than the Green Bay Packers?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there is no part of Miami that has to do with Green Bay or the Packers
at all. Well said. Well said. So I am hoping that the San Francisco 49ers win like 86-7.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to be anything like their matchup earlier this year, which, by the way, the Packers have not lost since. I think the 49ers can get after them up front because that defensive front just suffocates offensive linemen and quarterbacks. But I don't think it's going to be lopsided the way it was earlier this year. There's no way.
So that would make me very happy. But I'm going to watch both games simply because it's what we do as fans. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to watch.
I have to work Sunday night, but
so do I.
We're on after the Fox, because I'm Fox, the later game.
I will be doing a White Claw pub crawl in Edison Park.
Fun.
Going from pub to pub to pub. I'll announce those in a little while where I'm going to be. But come tip a White Claw and we'll watch football together.
That's fun, Cap.
How about that?
Is Mindy going with you?
I don't think so.
No.
No.
Okay, that's fun. So I got to work late. So then I always have this debate, like, when do I leave for work because I don't want to miss anything?
Mm-hmm.
I think Green Bay and San Francisco will be much closer. I think San Fran's going to win that game. But Kansas City and Tennessee, I don't know. Those Titans just are peaking at the right time. And they're hot. And they've got a formula that just works. They don't go off script. Ryan Tannehill can give you one of those big plays from the jump that you're not ready for. Just like Patrick Mahomes can. That one intrigues me.
By the way, I will be in Edison Park 5:30 to 7:30 on Sunday. And I will be starting at Emerald Isle,
mm-hmm.
6668 North Northwest Highway. It's not far from where you grew up.
Exactly.
Firewater Saloon after that at 6695 Oliphant. And then Edison Park Inn, 6715 Olmsted.
EPI.
There you go.
As we called it.
The EPI.
My 8th grade graduation party there.
So.
And my college graduate, or my high school graduation party.
You started
party.
Drinking at a young age. so anyway, come on out. Brought to you by the fine folks at White Claw, 5:30 to 7:30 on Sunday in Edison Park. We can watch football together.
Okay, I have a question for you now. Of the four quarterbacks playing on Sunday, you have Patrick Mahomes, you have Ryan Tannehill, mm-hmm. you have Aaron Rodgers, and you have Jimmy Garoppolo. Which quarterback do you trust the most to go to the Super Bowl?
Of the four quarterbacks?
Mm-hmm. You could pick, obviously you should pick two. But at the top of the list would be who?
Patrick Mahomes.
Okay. So do you agree with me that you think this is Andy Reid's best shot to get that Super Bowl he doesn't have yet?
Yes, I believe he will win the Super Bowl. Good for him. It will cement his Hall of Fame candidacy. And I believe that Patrick Mahomes will be the reason that they win.
If the Chiefs lose, mm-hmm. if the Chiefs lose, that's all we're talking about on Monday, is what a disappointing loss it was for the Chiefs and Reid's legacy. That's what I think.
No,
I don't think we're talking about.
I think if the Packers go into San Francisco after literally getting eviscerated the first game.
There we go again. yeah.
That would be a massive win for Green Bay. Massive. Them winning the Super Bowl is as distasteful for me as the Cardinals winning the World Series.
Fair. That's fair enough.
It's being honest.
The Packers are now 9-1 in one-score games. So they can play with you up until the very end, and then Aaron Rodgers just finds a way. There's something about that game at Lambeau, though. It was just so Aaron Rodgers Packers-esque. Like, cold January, Aaron Rodgers. It almost felt like, Cap, he was kind of over there like, hey, remember me? We all wanted to talk about Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson all year long, and now everyone's talking about Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry. Hello! Over here.
Okay, I've got something for you.
What? Oh, boy.
I was listening to this great radio show last night after I got done doing the Loyola Southern Illinois game, and shout out to the great people from both schools. I enjoyed doing the game. I took a picture at center court with Sylvie. Had a great time last night. On my way home, I flipped on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000, and I listened to the Chris Black and Adam Abdallah show and was wildly entertained to the point where I was sitting in my driveway, not quite going into my house. My wife was already asleep, so there was nothing, you know, luring me inside.
Oh, thanks for that.
What does that mean?
I know. Glad we're all abreast to that situation.
Like, I appreciate you listening, but what would be...
Hold on. Get your head out of the gutter. I was not talking about anything like that.
You put our heads in the gutter, Cap.
No, it wasn't like she said, hey, I'll wait up for you, honey.
We get it. We get it.
All right,
Coco together.
We get it, Cap. Proceed.
But I was listening to their show, and they had a guy named Dieter Kurtenbach on.
Uh-huh.
Can you please repeat the stat he gave about the only quarterback behind Mitchell Trubisky in...
It was QBR. It was quarterbacks who had, like, low QBR on the season, and Trubisky led the league with some number, like, under 60 or something. I don't remember. I can go listen back at the exact stat.
Uh-huh.
But the person who was second in the National Football League was Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers was behind Mitchell Trubisky in QBR. Can you believe that?
I don't. This isn't a game I want to play. I don't want to compare Mitch Trubisky to Aaron Rodgers.
I'm not comparing him. I heard that and I went...
Yeah, the context was Rodgers isn't playing to that MVP level that we all kind of just assume he's that type of quarterback still.
He's still got that magic, though. There's something about he's still so good when it matters.
So I saw that. I heard that on Chris's show, and I was like, what? That would be W-U-T. All right, we got to take a quick timeout. We'll come back on Chicago's Home for Sports. More of your calls. We've got the Philly Godfather and more. It's Cap and Company, ESPN 1000.
It's Cap and Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN 1000.
So, there is so much going on in sports. Football this weekend, obviously college and pro basketball and hockey keep rolling on. Cubs convention, White Sox Fest is Sox Fest is next week, and that is sold out. So you got both teams have a sold out winter fan fest. One team has the arrow pointing directly up, spending money, and people are excited. The other team has had nothing but bad news. Are we going to be able to get the games on Xfinity? I'm not sure. Well, are we going to spend any money on someone we've heard of? Well, I don't think so. Are we going to trade our best player for guys that make no money because they might be good so we can get our payroll down? I mean, like, sweet mother of God.
I'll say this. The arrow shifted a little yesterday for me. So I was at a Cubs pre-convention event for Cubs Charities, and David Ross was there. And this is really my first time being in front of David Ross, with him now being the new manager of the Cubs. So he walked in, Cap, goes up to every media member. Hey, nice to meet you. I'm David. Hey, now I'm like, hello, nice to meet you. I'm Shay. Hi, nice to meet you. Good to see you. Hello, hello. Shaking hands. Basically said in so many words, if you guys are here to talk negatively of the Cubs, you got to go somewhere else. We're not going to do that here. But he said he believes few things that surprised me with what he said yesterday. One, he believes Chris Bryan, as it stands now, will be on the opening day roster. Not surprising. What else would he say? But he said fans should expect him to be there. That I thought was interesting. He also said he thinks with this current roster that he has right now, he can win the World Series with that.
Okay, what's he supposed to say?
Okay,
hey, what do you think of your team? I think they suck, and it's a joke. We haven't signed anybody.
But to say the World's not, I think we can compete with this team. I think we can go out and win the World Series with the talent we have on this current roster. Then the third thing he said that I thought was interesting was that, and I kind of asked Jesse about this, but we were a little rushed. He believes in a true leadoff hitter. He said he's been on a lot of teams where that sets the tone for the game. And he gave the example of being in Boston with Jacoby Ellsbury, setting the tone for the team every single game when he was the leadoff hitter. And he thinks the Cubs could benefit from that. So he's taken a really deep dive into the leadoff hitter position this offseason. And he's looking at all angles, and that's something he's very serious about.
Hey, Danny, did you hear that?
Oh, I heard it.
Explain to me which leadoff guy they signed that he's going to put. He did a deep dive into it. Deep dive into the pile of man goo we've got that line up as our leadoff hitters.
They said on this very show that a leadoff hitter was not necessary.
Who's they?
Theo and Jed. Both were on Cap Show after they let Dexter Fowler go.
It's our show.
After they let Dexter Fowler go and said that the leadoff hitter, the way that we all believe the leadoff hitter should be, is not what analytics call for these days.
Correct.
And that it's not something they need. Now fast forward to going into the 2020 season when they haven't had a leadoff hitter since Dexter Fowler was here and he go, we go, and we can't win playoff games and we can't even make it to the playoffs last year, and now we need a leadoff hitter again. They're talking out of both sides of their mouth, which to a Cub fan is frustrating because Cub fans were crying about a leadoff hitter the day they let Dexter Fowler go.
But I think now you've realized that, right? And Theo isn't the one that talked. He'll talk this weekend. But I think David Ross probably is like, yeah, I he didn't say this, but I'm paraphrasing. Hey, that didn't work. Not having a true leadoff hitter has now proven not to work. And unlike some other franchises who don't say anything or don't admit when they're wrong, perhaps this will be a moment when the Cubs say, you know, we made a mistake. We need a true leadoff hitter. The analytics and everything else, out the window. But we need a guy to set the tone.
But as a guy that loves Joe Maddon and feels like Joe Maddon should still be the manager on the north side, it makes me think to myself, when they let Dexter Fowler go, that he went to Theo and Jed and said, hey, guys, I need a leadoff hitter. And maybe the year after, guys, how about a leadoff hitter? Hey, guys, this Schwarber experience and the experiment with Anthony Rizzo at leadoff, I need a leadoff hitter. Hey, guys. And they did nothing. Well, Joe, our analytics department, Carmen the computer or whatever they call it, suggests that a leadoff hitter is not necessary in baseball today. Now, fast forward, they get rid of him. They bring in their guy, and it's like, oh, we were wrong. We need a leadoff hitter.
Yeah, exactly right. Well said. Well said, Danny. We'll get back to these calls in a minute. So I said as we were going to break that last night, coming home from the Loyola Southern Illinois game, won by the Ramblers by 16, that I was listening to this really entertaining radio show known as Black and Abdallah. And they had this guest on named Dieter Kurtenbach, who I did not know till this morning used to be an intern here.
He was my intern.
Yeah, Dieter was here.
He was
great.
He's
a West Coast writer.
Yeah, he writes for the Bay Area News Group, so he covers all sports out there. We used him a bunch when the Warriors were in the finals, but we had him on last night to talk about the 49ers and the Packers.
Okay, so, Chris, can you please enlighten all the people out there, like Alex Brown, the former Bears superstar, who's out there listening, what he said about QBR in comparing Mitchell Trubisky and Aaron Rodgers. And I'm not comparing them as players. I'm simply stating fact.
Yeah, this season, Trubisky had 11 games where his QBR was under 50. Aaron Rodgers had 10 games QBR that was under 50. Which Trubisky was the most in football. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers was second.
So Trubisky was the worst, and Aaron Rodgers was the second worst.
Do we care? Do you care?
I just found that very interesting as I was driving, listening to that show.
And again, the reason it came up was not Trubisky wasn't the reason this came up. What came up is we were talking about Aaron Rodgers,
right?
And whether or not he can just like pull a game out of his back end because he's so great, right? The MVP, right. Aaron Rodgers, one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen. And Dieter's point is, if you actually look at the stats and look at the play, Aaron Rodgers hasn't played like that in two seasons. And in fact, if you look at the stats this season, his stats kind of look on par with Mitch Trubisky.
Oh,
it was taken as a negative towards Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I understand. But I watched Aaron Rodgers go up against Mitch Trubisky in Green Bay.
Yeah, I'm not saying that Trubisky is as good of a player. It's just to make Dieter's point, he just used that stat because Trubisky is worst in the league and Rodgers has 10 of those games where he's under QBR 50. Now, whether or not you care about QBR or whatever, it's just something to go with the conversation.
Can you tell me what number Aaron Rodgers finished this year in QBR for the season?
You guys, I think Aaron Rodgers
21st. Guys, Tom Brady finished 17th. Mitchell Trubisky finished 28th.
Take Aaron Rodgers out of it. As a Bears fan, isn't it a sad state that we're using Mitchell Trubisky as the Mendoza line? Like, literally, listen to us. We're using Mitchell Trubisky as the line, whether you either suck or you're was he better than Mitch? Was he? Did he have a better QBR than Mitch? Because if he didn't, he sucks. Mitch is the Mendoza line.
Yeah, that's bad.
That's a joke.
I know. Okay, that is a joke. And also, Aaron, I mean, the reason they called QBR?
The Mendoza line is because there was Mario Mendoza was a hitter, and 215 was his lifetime average, and they use him as the designation.
By the way, the poll question that you asked me to ask, people wanting to know how that was, the MLB sign-stealing scandal, will it increase your interest in watching more baseball games this spring? 79%, no. No.
Shay, good news for you. I pulled up the Astros schedule. Which game are you most looking forward to? Are you looking to April 17th when they have the Angels at home, or are you more interested
in when they
go on the road to the Mariners on April 30th?
Definitely Angels, because that would be Joe Maddon. Is Mike Trout
in the next break? Can you make us a power ranking of the top five Rockies games that you plan on watching on your free time?
I think we all know my overarching point was that it makes baseball more intriguing, given that there are more storylines to pay attention to.
No, the fact of the matter is you like drama and soap operas.
I have never watched a soap opera from start to finish in my life.
But you like the drama.
Yeah, I like the drama in sports. I do. I think that's why the NBA is great, and it's a world-renowned sport. I think this is good for baseball because they're stuck in 1920, apparently. I like football's drama and all that goes on off the field and on the field and all the storylines that go with it throughout the game. Yes, I like drama. And I think this is good for baseball that was lacking some drama. Now, this is not the way I'd want it to come out. This is not, I think, good for the actual sport being played, but it generates interest. Let's just call it what it is.
I don't disagree with you. I cannot disagree with that.
And when you guys walk in here and you're like, did you see last night Jose Altuve got pelted by that fastball? 3-2 count. Could you believe it? And I'll be like, oh, really? Were you watching that live? Or did you pull up that highlight?
We were all watching it on SportsCenter. The only way I consume any baseball game other than the Cubs and Sox is via SportsCenter.
Yeah, that is not, I'm not him, because I buy the MLB package and I watch on my iPad, on my phone. My house has it.
During the show.
During the show. If they play a 9 a.m. game, yes, I'm watching. No question about it. 312-332-3777. Like, what have you found out? Like, I cannot believe that you actually think you do not penalize a team that cheated to get the trophy that they've got. Like, Ben Johnson.
Who said that you shouldn't penalize them?
I mean, take their trophy away.
That's not a trophy.
Oh, you took my trophy away. I really learned my lesson.
You stricken their name from the record book that they were the champion.
Please.
Like, what? Ben Johnson cheated. He took steroids to run the fastest 100 meters in the history of the world. And then guess what they said? Well, actually, you didn't. You cheated.
Cool. And you know what, Ben Johnson? You should never run again. More powerful than taking away his trophy.
We got to take a timeout. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Is this cheating scandal actually good for baseball?
Yes.
And which game are you most looking forward to this weekend in the National Football League? We'll be right back on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000.